Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. We are finally back here doing another mailbag show. It's been a couple weeks since I've had time to do one of these. Always enjoy answering your questions though, especially when we've reached this do or die time in the fantasy season where we have some managers just battling it out for playoff spots. We got others trying to set themselves up for a title run. So no time to waste here. Let's get right into it. At John Muir and then a ton of numbers after it. Is the weather report in Baltimore enough to make you pivot from Lamar Jackson and stream a quarterback like Jake Browning, Gardner Minshew, or Josh Dobbs? Well, I mentioned it on yesterday's show that I normally don't factor in the weather reports until a little bit later in the week. You know, the Thursday rankings, I start to think about it more so over the weekend when we get closer to the games, and then the forecasts get a little more accurate at that point. Because if you start worrying about the weather on Tuesday when I first put out the rankings, just so much can change before Sunday rolls around. And often people are overreacting to these weather reports because they hear everybody talk about it during the week, so they're double counting it against their fantasy rankings or their fantasy decisions, or because they see video from the city where the game's going to be and it's really raining or it's really snowing and they panic. And then a few hours later, that system passed and it's cleared up before kickoff. Now, at the same time, this week, the forecast, they seem pretty locked in for a couple of these games. And shout out to Kevin Roth of Roto Grinders or our buddy Chris Allen of Fantasy Life. And I don't know his name, but Matt FF Dynasty on Twitter. He does a really good Twitter thread every week for the weather. You could also look at NFLweather.com. They got all the forecasts for every game and it's updating constantly throughout the week. So give all of them a follow. This week, though, we have a few of these games that I'm already factoring in. And yes, Rams-Ravens, going back to this question, it is top of the list. Looks like we're going to have a really heavy dose of rain during that one. And the winds are projected to be 15 to 20 miles per hour. Going to have some gusts up to 30. So that's problematic for the kicking game. I've already dropped Justin Tucker down a few spots. I might have to move him down even further in my next update. And it also could make this a really messy contest and limit the passing game. So for somebody like Lamar, he has other ways that he can rack up fantasy points, right? He can do it with his legs. So he's not a must sit by any means, but I have moved some guys over him that usually wouldn't be, like Justin Fields and others. However, the names that you're mentioning here, Browning and Minshew and Dobbs, you know, it's possible that they could outscore Lamar in a given week. I would have a very hard time playing them over him, though. They're pure streamers, so I think that's too far of a drop, even with the weather in Baltimore. And we'll keep an eye on this illness that Lamar has, too. He missed practice today, but there's lots of time for him to get right before Sunday. I also want to mention those other weather games that might be an issue this week. So we have Texans-Jets. That's going to be likely 15 to 20 mile per hour winds there. Gusts around 25. Also a good chance of rain. And then Jags-Browns, very similar forecast for that one. And I've taken all that into consideration with my kicker rankings and with some of the passing game weapons in those offenses. And you can see where I have them in the rankings. You can go check those out. My latest update is live over on the Score right now. And obviously, we're going to have a better idea during my updates on Sunday morning of what the weather's going to look like. I'll also be keeping an eye on Lions-Bears. Seems like just some borderline win concerns for that one. Not really worried about that. And then Colts-Bengals is kind of in the same boat. So not the worst week, but definitely want to factor in those first three games that I mentioned when you're making fantasy decisions. You know, just don't get wild and don't completely overreact. At @ill_Swayze. Any QBs you would stash and start week 15 over Patrick Mahomes against New England? So this is kind of like the last question about Lamar. You know, I get the idea that you might want to downgrade Mahomes because his production lately hasn't been great. You know, we talked about that on yesterday's show with John Daigle, but I'm not going to go to a complete streamer or a guy that you're going to be able to get right now and stash over somebody like Patrick Mahomes. And we've seen Josh Allen and Tua. They've had good games against this Pats defense this year. I can't imagine starting somebody like Gardner Minshew, who I like, but I just couldn't put him in my lineup in the fantasy playoffs over Patrick Mahomes unless there was an injury or some severe weather or something else. So the matchup with the Patriots is not enough for me to do that. I would ride with Mahomes. At NY Buckeyes, do you think that there's any hope for Austin Eckler to regain his form, or do you think his days of being a top RB are done? So this comes on the heels of Brandon Staley suggesting that the team might get other backs involved and try to kickstart that Chargers run game. And I believe him. I think he probably will try to do that this week. But no, I don't think that Eckler is completely cooked. I think we're seeing a guy who suffered a really bad high ankle sprain back in week one, and it's sapping some of his effectiveness. And, you know, this isn't the first time we've seen this happen. Alvin Kamara, that happened to him a few years ago where he came back from a high ankle sprain, wasn't really the same player. Saquon Barkley, I think a couple years ago, it happened to him as well. You know, some of these elite backs that get these bad high ankle sprains, their efficiency metrics, they just tend to drop after that injury, even if they have sat out for a few games before they come back. Plus, the Chargers don't have their full complement of receivers, right? They've lost Mike Williams. Josh Palmer's been out. He's back at practice right now. Maybe he'll be out there this week. So in the meantime, defenses have been just able to focus on Keenan Allen and on Eckler, and the results have not been great for Austin Eckler. So yes, it might be a bit of age-related decline, but overall, I think it has more to do with that injury from early in the season and then just the state of this offense. But with the schedule the rest of the way, he could still put up low-end RB1 numbers, even if they do get somebody like Josh Kelly more work out there. And that's because Kelly had his shot to really own this backfield earlier this season when Eckler was out, and he wasn't great with that opportunity. So I don't expect that we're going to see Kelly come in here and blow the doors off and steal this job or anything like that. Eckler's still going to get most of the touches, even if he's sharing a little more than usual. And the key for him is really going to be touchdowns. That's what really inflated some of his totals in the past. He needs the Chargers to get in scoring position more often. And that should happen, should, with this more favorable schedule over the final month. At Skoll Actuary, should my league have a win against the median? If I had any other schedule, I'd have at least three more wins and locked up a bye. It's frustrating being on the very bad end of luck over the course of a season. Yeah, I mean, that's always the worst. You know, in one of my dynasty leagues, I have the most points in the league by far, and I think I'm in fourth. And if I lose this week, I could fall to fifth. And, you know, I'm definitely in favor of adding wins against the median. Scott Fishbowl is using that this year, and basically anything that Scott's willing to use, it's normally a good idea to add that to your league. And for anybody that doesn't know, I guess I could explain this a little more. Win against the median means that, you know, you have your normal matchup, you're going against another team, you get a win or loss depending on the outcome of that, and then you also have a win or loss depending on whether you finish in the top half or in the bottom half of the league in terms of points scored for that week across the entire league. So it's a way of rewarding teams that, you know, if you put up the second highest score in a league that week and then you lose your matchup to the team with the highest score, that sort of thing, right? It sort of corrects a little bit for that. I also really like awarding the final playoff spot to the team with the most points, you know, instead of giving it to the team with the sixth best record. If there's six playoff teams, if there's eight playoff teams, then you do it for the eighth spot. But that way, if you have a great year, but you got really screwed over on matchups, you could still punch your ticket, because if you have the most points out of all the remaining teams, you're probably the best team that deserves that spot. So, you know, adding a win against the median and or giving that last playoff spot to the highest scoring team left over, I think those are both smart things, and I have those settings. I have it that way in most of my leagues. At @Vay_FB, our league has shallow benches. Going into the playoffs, would you drop someone like Keaton Mitchell or Jordan Addison to handcuff your starting RBs? Example, Rico Dowdle as a Tony Pollard owner, Kenny Gainwell as DeAndre Swift owner. Would you carry two defenses? So I would not drop Keaton Mitchell at all. I think Mitchell could emerge as the best running back on the Ravens over the next few weeks here if he hasn't already. He's an RB3 flex option in fantasy with some upside, depending how this turns out for him. Addison, I would be willing to move on from him if you're in a shallower league and if you're set at receiver, if you don't really need him, because Justin Jefferson, he's coming back here. I don't feel great about Addison being a guy that you could start confidently in fantasy when Jefferson's out there. So Addison, I would be willing to drop for Dowdle and then for Gainwell in that order. And I don't think you need to roster two defenses. You know, if you have room on your bench to throw them, if you have deep benches in your league, sure. But there's so many options out there right now for defenses. And John Daigle mentioned it on yesterday's show, right? With all the bad quarterbacks, with all the backups starting, you can just target one of them each week. So there's not as much need this year to stash multiple defenses for the playoffs. I would rather use those spots on high upside backup running backs, like you mentioned. At Jacob_Soli, how reliable do you think Rashee Rice will be as a consistent fantasy starter moving forward? He's had two big weeks in a row. Is this a flash in the pan, or do you think he'll be a big factor in the Chiefs offense moving forward? Not a flash in the pan at all. He is actually the best receiver in that offense, and we're not counting Kelce for that, but you know, we tend to see rookies emerge as their first season progresses. I think this just makes sense with this timeline and a smart coaching staff. Would have been nice to see him out there earlier in the year, but can't really go against what they've done based on the fact that he's starting to produce now. And I would expect a really strong finish from him. So, you know, he's a fringe low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3 the rest of the season. At Feisty_Fritos, I see that you ranked the Cleveland defense pretty high for this week. Are you at all worried about the last game where they got negative points? Not worried at all about that last game. The Browns were banged up in that one. They had to take on Matthew Stafford, who's a good enough quarterback that he can carve up any defense out there. And their current ranking for this week for the Browns, it's based on Trevor Lawrence not playing in week 14. And Lawrence was back at practice today. He was in a limited fashion. So we don't know whether he's going to be able to play this week or not. We'll see if he can get cleared. He suffered the high ankle sprain on Monday night. So I have my doubts that they're going to be able to turn him around and get him out there this week. But if CJ Beathard starts and we have bad weather, which I talked about earlier, and the Browns are getting healthier on defense. Myles Garrett, another week removed from his injury. Denzel Ward's expected back this week. So the Browns closer to full strength. Plus they're back at home. And they're playing a team that has to travel on a short week. Plus their game is projected right now for 30.5 points. Just insanely low. So lots of factors adding up to the Browns being a good play this week. And probably next week against the Bears as well. But if Trevor Lawrence does play in this one, then that'll change the ranking a little bit, and they'll probably be a little bit closer to defense 10, defense 12, kind of in that range. Now, that is all for today's show. Remember, the Thursday rankings update, that is live over on The Score. I'll have Start, Sit, Stash, Quit Up on Friday morning, and then the Friday injury updates episode probably later Friday afternoon this week. But until then, big thanks for all the questions today. Big thanks to everybody for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time. My baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. I said leave on time.